Pride is back, and we're talking about events and parades in Wisconsin communities celebrating LGBTQ month, mindful of navigating these pandemic times, right? It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. June is traditionally observed by the LGBTQ plus community as Pride Month in remembrance of the Stonewall riots of 1969 in New York. And now more than a half century later, what does Pride mean to you? How will you recognize Pride Month? Do you find your workplace, your community to be inclusive? Where can it improve? 800-642-1234. We start in Stevens Point with Ryan Goshkovich, event director for Point Pride and a drag performer known as Sissy Lala. Ryan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. I am so happy to be on this morning.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. So Point Pride, it was a small pre-recorded online event last year, of course, due to COVID. Before that, it's believed 2019 was the first year Pride Month was celebrated in Stevens Point in like a decade. Why is it important to bring back in-person Pride celebrations to Point?
So specifically in Point, and I guess I'll just talk about Pride in general. So obviously, just being in the same space as people that are like-minded like you, or to people that haven't necessarily had the opportunity to fully express themselves yet, to be in an environment where they can see other people living their lives the way that they want to is just very inspiring. And then when it comes to Point, the majority of all Prides that happen kind of end up happening in the larger metropolis sort of areas, so like Milwaukee, or Madison's.
Yeah,
exactly. So something bigger like that. But the LGBT community exists everywhere. And I feel there needs to be more representation or ease of access, if you will, to people in smaller communities that don't necessarily have enough queer culture to completely understand or experience the life that they want to.
Does it surprise you when you do find yourself in a community of like-minded people saying, you know what, we need to do this here in Stevens Point and really come together and acknowledge each other and Pride Month?
No, definitely. It's been very surprising for me making this event, I guess. So originally it was just an idea that I had. The small event that happened in 2019, the group that kind of put it on disbanded shortly after the event happened. And I personally just did not want us to lose that traction. So I decided, regardless on what help I was going to get, I was going to make sure that that event would stay happening in our area. Since then, I found a very great group of people that have helped me put it on. And with all of the planning that I've gone into it, it's been a blessing, but also very surprising on seeing how many local businesses or organizations are willing to donate or help or be at our event to show their support. So I'm very excited to see the community see how much of the rest of the community is involved and supportive of us.
Yeah, you're really feeling some support from the business community for this event. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you give us a little history lesson here? Why is Pride Month celebrated?
So obviously, like you said, Stonewall was kind of the beginning of when it came to the Pride celebrations that we kind of see today. Stonewall was a gay club that was raided in New York. People were just living their lives, having a drink, and were just raided at the night by police members. And even so, like, since then, we've obviously had a lot of progression, right? In 2015, there was marriage equality, but there's still discussion when it comes to equal rights. Like in 2019, under the previous president, trans folk were not able to be in the military. In addition to that, there are still 16 states that practice sodomy laws, which just essentially means that if a same-sex couple is showing their affection towards each other, even in their own home, that that could be reprimanded. So there's still a ways to go. In addition to that, too, just the amount of, and I guess this is on a personal note, just the amount of disdain or hate, I guess, if you will, that is all over the internet or social medias from different groups saying how Pride shouldn't be happening, that the LGBTQ plus community has more rights than they do, or just the uneducation, I guess, I feel is just something personally that I feel Pride needs to continue to happen just so people can hopefully eventually understand.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Ryan Goshkovich, who's the new event director for Point Pride in Stevens Point. We're talking about Pride Month events in Wisconsin with your insights as well. Do you miss in-person Pride events? How are you celebrating Pride Month? Join in 800-642-1234. Ryan, I'm curious. I mean, you've lived in other places. How do you feel about the state of diversity and inclusivity in Wisconsin?
So I've traveled around a lot. I lived in California for a bit. I did some national touring with different performing groups. And I would say growing up here, I did not find my crowd. And to be completely honest, I'm still trying to find it. But kind of like I said earlier, it's been surprising how people have been coming out of the woodworks that I wouldn't necessarily expect to support the Pride event. So that's been great to me. But in addition to that, I just feel as though, because I've been around to different larger cities, there's a different dynamic when you go to somewhere that has a little bit more diversity. People are just more willing to be friends. They're willing to be open. Whereas here, it's kind of, I guess it's a little bit more along the lines side of people are still fearful of themselves. They're fearful of how people understand them. So you don't get the opportunity to just have a group of people that can meet and become friends and hang out and listen to each other's experiences. So I hope that Stevens Point, at least within the future, can become that sort of meeting ground, especially being a college town that we are, that it will eventually become that place where people will know, hey, if we're here and we're going to a restaurant or going to see a movie in town here, that we are free to be ourselves. So people have more opportunity to kind of meet, talk to new people and create that inclusive environment.
Ryan, do you feel like you have to be an educator a lot, a teacher a lot, and explain?
Actually, yeah. First of all, in my own personal life, when I came out, it was definitely a lot of education that I had to go through, I guess, if you will, to educate just my family, to kind of explain how I was feeling and what that meant for me and certain things of that nature. But with that too, on the term of education, obviously I know who I am as a person, but since I'm living in an area like this, I've had to go out and search for the education just on queer rights, if you, and I think that's even a whole nother thing where if somebody is in a place where there's more diversity, I feel that that history and those cultures are something that you are just a part of. Whereas here, I've had to not only find my own education, but I'm kind of now in charge of creating that culture through the event that we're having on June 12th.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that event and you know, almost as if you're an ambassador, if you will, Yeah. We're talking about Pride Month in Central Wisconsin. We have Ryan Goshkovich. She's organizing Point Pride Festival in the Stevens Point area. With the pandemic, what have you missed about in-person Pride events? Are you an ally? How do you show support for the LGBTQ plus community? Do you feel safe and respected to celebrate Pride where you live? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute on the Ideas Network. The pandemic put a damper on Pride festivals last year, but festivities are starting to come back in person this year. We're talking about how to celebrate Pride Month and lift up LGBTQ communities. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Pride Fest in Milwaukee is being postponed until a later date. In Madison, Outreach LGBTQ plus Community Center will be hosting its second annual Magic Pride Festival as a virtual event set for August. Do you remember the first Pride celebration you went to? What was it like? How will you recognize Pride Month? 800-642-1234. Ryan Goshkovich is directing Point Pride. He stays with us. So, Ryan, what do you have in store for us for Point Pride?
So, I am completely thrilled and just very excited with the amount of activities that we have going on throughout the day. I guess throughout the day, we have two drag shows, so it'll give a lot of people to an opportunity to kind of see drag culture and giving a lot of drag queens an opportunity to perform, since we haven't had that for a lot of the pandemic. In addition to that, to kicking off our event at 12 o'clock, we will be having a drag story hour. So this will just be our drag hosts, one of them being myself. We'll be reading books to the children or families that want to be coming to our event. So just in general, our event is going to be very family friendly. In addition to that, we are also having a contest for new drag performers. So performers that either have not or have recently started performing in drag, the opportunity to have a stage, to kind of have a little contest, to give everybody who wanted to an opportunity to perform. We have a couple local judges for that. We're going to have our own mayor, Mike Wiesa, part of that, along with a couple other guest judges for that. In addition to that, we also have a relatively local queer band called Falling Flat that will be performing there, and an aerialist group that will also be performing. So a lot going on throughout the day, in addition to games and giveaways that we're going to be having kind of sprinkled throughout everything, and also free HIV testing and information from Vivint Health.
And this is June 12th?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So explain a little bit more about the drag queen storytelling and what you're trying to do there.
No, for sure. So I feel within the last couple years, the drag queen story hour has been something that has become much bigger. We've been seeing it online. We've been seeing it in person in different places, obviously before the pandemic. But essentially all it is we're trying to eliminate the idea that people think that we have too much of a forward agenda. It essentially, all it's going to be is a person that is dressed up in drag reading, a book to a group of kids. We're just trying to eliminate the idea that drag or just queer culture in general has to be hypersexualized. It can just be that someone is playing a character and can read a book and have a good time with a family environment. So with this, actually, we're super excited. A local bookstore that is not even opened yet, they are opening soon, donated a handful of books to us that we will actually be able to give away. So I just think it's a great time to kind of open the doors to people that might not completely have an understanding of what drag is or what queer culture is in general, just to come watch us read a couple books and walk away with a free book.
You are also a drag queen. What have you learned about yourself and your community by doing drag?
So I started drag in 2018. I started it personally, because I was always a theater kid. That was just something that I was involved in and really liked. But my dad became sick with cancer. So I wasn't able to really be in rehearsals for musicals or anything like that, because they just took up too much time. So I found drag as an opportunity to perform, to get my fill of creativity, without having the tight time constraints. Through drag, though, I've just found the ability to express myself however I want to, even outside of drag. I've completely now have a wonderful idea of who I am as a person when that comes to personality or gender. And then with that as well, just a group of friends, just a group of people, like I said, with the pride, that are a like-minded group of individuals that just want to perform, want to have a good time, and want to bring laughs and fun to their audiences.
Yeah, I'm thinking about how you've said in the past that doing drag has opened doors for you. Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate on that? In what way?
Well, I'm on Wisconsin Public Radio. so to kind of, and it's been a great opportunity for me being where I'm at. So with me doing drag, I've had opportunities, first off, to kind of take over Pride in our area. I don't feel as though that would have been as possible, or I don't think me as a person, I would have been willing to do it had I not completely fell into queer culture by doing drag. That is truly when I started getting educated on the matters and a part of that. So drag has opened up that opportunity for me. It's given me the opportunity to travel. I go around the state quite frequently, actually, now, to perform in drag. It's just opened up a lot of doors for me to try new things. A lot of places within my community have reached out to me since I started doing drag to get drag shows at their local bars. So I've had opportunities to put drag shows together in bars in Stevens Point. I've had opportunities to put shows on in Owosso. So people are recognizing that there is a local talent that is able to bring queer culture to their business.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Ryan Goshkovich, who's the event director for Point Pride in Stevens Point, putting it together, and is a drag queen, as we've been talking about, goes by the name of Sissy Lala. You can join in. Do you feel safe to show LGBTQ pride in your community? Do you remember the first pride celebration you went to? What was it like? 800-642-1234 to join in. Ryan, part of your festival includes a drag show for first-time performers. How important is your first performance? What is that like?
So it is very scary, especially now with drag being so available when it comes to RuPaul's Drag Race on TV. There is a certain idea of what drag is or what drag can be. And especially on TV, it can be very heightened. The people that usually end up there have been doing it for a while. They spent a lot of money. But local drag is, to me, an entirely different story. So to not necessarily have an idea of what you're getting into before you get into it is very scary. But specifically for this event and just in general for first-time drag performers, you really just need that first time. It really just gives you that taste of what it is, and then you go further with that. It's kind of like ripping off the band-aid, where right as soon as you have that first performance, you're like, okay, I can do this. Because right as soon as you're there, you realize the sisterhood or brotherhood or community that is there with other performers, that when you're backstage, it's just a good time to meet new people. You're helping each other clasp your bra onto your back, and it's just an opportunity to make new friends. So I wanted to put this event particularly in our Pride to have an option for people that have been reaching out to me or reaching out to other people to have their first opportunity to try drag as that first open door to get them into the community. There will be other drag queens at the event, so they can meet new people, ask questions, get tips on how to apply makeup, get tips on other things. So I think this is probably the best case scenario for somebody that would want to start doing drag.
Yeah. So you're trying to make it less scary, maybe more accessible to take that first step.
Mm-hmm. Especially with the communities that generally come to Pride events. Pride, just in general, in its heart, is all about inclusivity and support and love. So to have that sort of rally, if you will, when you're on stage, people are going to cheer. They're going to support who you are as a person, which in some other bars, I could not promise. You know, when some people, I guess, sometimes don't like what they see, they will make that heard. So to be at an event where the entire thing is based on love and acceptance, it's going to be, again, like I said, the best first time or first case scenario to get that opportunity to perform.
Ryan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Honest to God, this was a blast.
Oh, Ryan Goshkovich, event director for Point Pride in the Stevens Point area, which will take place June 12th. Coming up, we visit Pride festivities set for the tiny village of Stockholm on the banks of Lake Pepin at the foot of the Mississippi River Bluffs in western Wisconsin. Communities big and small, are you helping to plan a Pride celebration? Join in what your community has in store, 800-642-1234. We'll be back after a news update on the Ideas Network. Hi, it's Kate Archer-Kent. A quick note on our programming here. We're preparing to hear from Dr. Anthony Fauci on the morning show in coming days, and we want to collect all your questions ahead of time for Dr. Fauci, the chief medical advisor to the White House. So leave your question for Dr. Fauci at this number. Here it is, 833-424-3327. That number again is 833-424-3327. Be sure to mention your name and your city, like, you know, Kate from Madison, so we can thank you for the question. Right now, we're talking about Pride events and lifting up LGBTQ plus communities. Our next stop is the tiny village of Stockholm on the banks of Lake Pepin, which is the largest lake on the Mississippi River and that natural border with our neighbor, Minnesota. And whether you live in a village or in a large metro area, how are you celebrating Pride Month? What does Pride mean to you in this day and age? 800-642-1234. Jennifer Lindahl is an event organizer for Lake Pepin Pride. Jennifer, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much.
We also have Alan Nugent with us, an organizer for Lake Pepin Pride and the owner of the Stockholm Pie and General Store. Alan, welcome to you.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, Jennifer and Alan, whose idea was it to put on a Pride celebration in tiny, tiny Stockholm?
That was my idea.
Claim it, Jennifer.
Claim it.
I'm claiming it.
So what's behind this? When did you start planning for this festival?
I think probably like a month ago, I think is maybe when it started.
Yeah, maybe a few weeks more than that, but yeah, crazy timeline. Yes.
Yeah. So what does it mean to have a Pride celebration in a small rural community like Stockholm? Alan, you first.
Well, so when Jennifer came to me with this idea, it brought a lot of real positive thoughts. And what does it mean? I think for me, it means visibility, not for myself or even other gay and lesbian people in our community, which there are quite a few, but visibility for those who don't have a reference for what they're feeling and who they are. I grew up in a small town, so I know how important and how amazing that would have been if I'd had that reference.
Yeah. Jennifer, how about you?
Yeah, I think that's the same. I think, you know, this is our home, and I want everybody within our home to feel that they're accepted and that they have a place and a voice.
Yeah. Do you, when did you decide that I want to do this? I want to put on a festival and really pay attention to Pride Month in my community?
You know, I can't pinpoint a certain time. I certainly have thought about it. I have young kids, and I've thought about we're really lucky in this community that we have such a large LGBTQ community, and my kids have many friends of different backgrounds. I homeschooled my kids for a time being, and that was really important to me. I grew up in a very small community, and while I'm not part of the LGBTQ community, there are other things in my life that separated me from people, and I felt like an outsider. And I don't want, it's not a good feeling. And I want my kids to, I think you learn by seeing, and I'm an accepting and loving person. And it's important for me that my kids see that, as well as other people in my community are so loving and supportive. And we need to celebrate that.
Yeah. Learn by seeing, Alan. I think that is also a piece of the visibility you're talking about.
Well, absolutely. I think we can't, I don't think people can understand how important that is for a young person or an older person, anyone, to be able to see and see that there are people who feel the way they do and love the way they would like to. Yeah, it's incredibly important to be visible.
You know, Jennifer, you mentioned that there is a big population of LGBTQ community in your tiny community of Stockholm. Can you give us a sense of what the community is like and why, you know, Stockholm might be different from elsewhere and how it sees diversity and inclusivity?
You know, I think that for the most part, most of us are transplanted here, right? So we didn't grow up here. Now there are several people that obviously grew up here, but most of us came from elsewhere. And so it is about building that internal community. And so I think that when you come from elsewhere, you're looking to be part of something. And so you understand what that feels like to be an outsider, just not a part of the main community. So there's that. The community, they travel, they're educated. I think that we're so lucky to have such a small population of people that not only are big-hearted, but they're worldly. Like I said, they've traveled, they're educated, and I think that does make a difference.
Yeah,
it tends to be an older community. We don't, you know, we encourage people, younger families to move in, but it does tend to be an older community.
Ellen, you know, in the business community, what does that look like in terms of welcoming, you know, welcoming people to the gay community and also being a business owner and being supportive of this community?
Well, I think it even goes beyond just the LGBTQI community. I think, you know, we have the big stickers on our front door that all are welcome here. So it's even broader than that. It's accepting everybody. And I think this Pride event, for me, and I think for Jennifer too, is absolutely about celebrating our community. And I am a part of that LGBTQI community. But I think it's even more inclusive than that. As a business owner, it's sometimes a bit frightening when you take the step off the cliff and declare yourself. But the support has been unbelievable, not just with this, but in other incidences when it comes to all kinds of diversity issues. The community here and the community behind my business has been unbelievably supportive.
You know, Alan, when you say, you know, putting the "All are welcome here" sticker on your door, and I'm thinking about the commercialism in Pride, that beauty and fashion brands, even Legos, they're creating Pride-inspired products. How do you feel about that?
I think one thing that does is it makes it more visible. And I'm a business owner, and go for it. If you have a way to capitalize on something wonderful, and all are welcome even there.
Do you ever get questions from your customers?
We get positive comments from our customers about those stickers on our doors. We get positive comments on Facebook when we make any kind of mention of diversity issues. So it's a pretty positive thing
If
all the
you're
way around.
just joining us, we're talking with Ellen Nugent and Jennifer Lindahl. They're residents of Stockholm, Wisconsin, event organizers for Lake Pepin Pride. We're going to learn more about what events are in store and also hearing what is in store for events you plan to go to in Pride Month. 800-642-1234. Jennifer, can you start just giving us a sense of what are you putting together here?
The core of this is Lake Pepin Pride, and Lake Pepin Pride is having a celebration in Stockholm Village Park on Saturday, June 12th from 10 to 1. There'll be music and performances, and we'll have some vendors and some supportive nonprofits. So that's the core of Lake Pepin Pride. And then we have all these organizations and businesses that have said, we want to do something too. We want to be part of this. And so it's turned into a whole weekend event. So on Friday, June 11th, we have a Flyway Film Festival, and Flyway is doing a pop-up documentary that will be showed at an outside venue called Liberty Tree Farm, and that's on Friday. And the doors will open there at 7:30. We're encouraging people to bring a picnic dinner. They do have alcohol there for purchase, so we're asking that you not bring alcohol with you, but come and bring your lawn chairs, a blanket. There'll be some picnic tables there. And so then Saturday again, the Lake Pepin Pride event, and then that will transition into Widespot Performing Arts Theater and Community Project. We'll be doing a gala, and the gala is a Strawberry Festival theme. And we're asking that every human come dressed in a gala theme, and where gender is not, there's no boundaries, right? So you dress how you're comfortable. And then that starts at 5 p.m. on Saturday, and then that will transition into a drag performance. And the drag performance will be from 8 until 10 p.m. And the gala, as well as the movie on Friday, there is no cost to join those events. And tickets for the drag performance can be found on widespotperformingarts.org. And then Sunday, another local business in town called Humble Moon Saloon will be doing a drag and donuts starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. And there will also be live music from Ava and the Gardens.
Oh,
And
wow.
then w within that, we have the Stockholm Pie Company has, they're working on, I haven't heard yet if it's finished, but they're working on strawberry pies.
Alan, you know nothing about that, of course.
I know nothing about pie, no.
I did offer to be a taste tester for the strawberry pies that they're making.
Organizing has its benefits.
Yes. And we have another Hugga Bugga. It's a another business within town has been making beautiful cards that are pride themed. It's just the out the support has been truly overwhelming. So we're really lucky.
We're talking with Jennifer Lindahl and Alan Nugent. They're organizing Lake Pepin Pride as we take a look at Pride Month in Wisconsin. What does Pride Month mean to you? And how is the LGBTQ plus rights movement, do you feel? Do you feel that you live and work in an inclusive community? What has changed? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're back talking about Pride events and the community-wide celebration of Pride in the works for Stockholm. The village of Stockholm, population, you know, give or take 79 people. Their events are planned for June 11th through the 13th. We have organizers Ellen Nugent and Jennifer Lindahl and their residents of Stockholm with us for about 10 more minutes. We heard from Kelia in Milwaukee, called in to say her first experience at Pride was amazing. She went with a few friends and thought it was extremely inclusive, loved the performances. Ellen, I'm wondering, have you been to other Pride events or Pride Fest in Milwaukee?
I've not been to Milwaukee. We're slightly Twin City centric here.
Sure, sure.
Right on the Minnesota border. Myself, as most people in Stockholm, are transplants from the Twin Cities. So yes, many times visiting the Twin Cities Pride. And that's quite the experience.
How does it feel for you to be, you know, working on the nuts and bolts of putting on a Pride festival in your community?
It's an incredible feeling because I think we're working very hard to make this about our community. We're working hard to make sure the people, the community that lives here is being recognized, and that what we're organizing feels like Stockholm, and celebrates the gay and lesbian, transgender, QI community. So it's been really interesting and exciting.
Jennifer, have you been to events or a Pride Fest where inclusivity was really paramount and you could really feel it?
I'm gonna, you know, honestly, I've not been to a Pride event. This will be not only Stockholm's first Pride event, but my first Pride event.
Oh, wow. That is so amazing. What, you know, you're an ally. How should allies show up for the community?
I mean, so for me, it's a learning journey. And I think that even for allies, you know, I can never understand, right? I will never be in a position where my sexuality is questioned, my identity is questioned, my gender is questioned. So I don't know what that will feel like. So I am coming to this with an open mind, and I'm gonna be honest. You know, I think that's the key. So there's this little story that I've shared previously. I had taken my kids to Eau Claire, where there's a university there, and I had taken them there on a Friday night, and we had gone for ice cream, and one of my daughter's friends came with as well, and college students started coming out. We were sitting in the park, and I thought, it's time to go now, and so we stopped at a gas station to get some water to drink, and there was several boys, a young man, walking into the gas station, and I said, "Ooh, those boys are going out on the town to get some girls tonight." And my daughter and her friend said, "Or boys," and I said that from a place of experience, right? From my experience and my growing up, and that was my experience. And their experience is different, and it was a learning moment for me. They were right, and I'm proud of them for correcting me. As an adult, I think that's my job, is to be an inspiration for my kids, but also to be a role model for them. And if they're correcting me, then they're being my role model. And yeah. This is an opportunity for me to learn. And I hope that other allies within the community or anybody within the community that just wants a better understanding to come and learn along with me.
What have your conversations been like around your kids on this effort to organize like Pepin Pride?
Yeah, so we've had lots of conversations. Recently, I'd said to my daughter, we had a TV crew came out and interviewed myself along with Alan and another business owner. And I said, it was really hard to hear. It wasn't hard. It was different to hear people saying, well, Jennifer, her idea. And I feel like this is such a community event. It's beyond me. I might've taken the step forward to make this happen, but the community has stepped up. And so we've had that conversation, and another conversation that we had that I think Alan will think is, you know, kind of get a little laugh out of. We were watching the TV interview, and my son goes, "Oh, I forgot Alan's gay," and my kids, I mean, they grew up here. Both my kids have known Alan and his partner for years and years, and I think that's where we need to get to. It's not Alan is gay. This is my friend Alan.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about my kids. And for him to say, "Oh yeah, I forgot Alan was gay." I mean, he knows that, but that's not who Alan is. There's so much more to our community, and there's so much more to the people in our community. And I think that's really the lesson, right? Is if once we get to be in a space of we're all inclusive, those, definition, you just become a person. You don't become a sexuality, or a gender, or a color.
I bet, Alan, that really rings true for you.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the things I guess I have loved about living in Stockholm. And one of the reasons we came here to begin with is because it was a safe place, for one thing. And it was comfortable. People just accepted you no matter who you were. And that was wonderful. You know, we lived in the Twin Cities and lived in a neighborhood that was, you know, with a very large gay population, but even there it was different. Here it's just who you are. And that's why I think it's so important for everyone to be part of this and to show up and to show their support and allies and GLBTQI, you know, most of the community down here is established, you know, I don't want to say older because I'm definitely not going to use that term about myself, but a lot of long-term couples, you know, couples that have been together 20, 30 years plus is the norm down here with the gay and lesbian couples. So it is somewhat that way already.
Yeah.
But we know there's room, boy, is there room. With the rest of the community.
Well, let's bring in Rich in Rhinelander. Hi, Rich. What are your reflections?
Well, my reflection is there was a researcher and theorist. He's still alive, Richard Florida, who talked about the creative classes and implications for urban regeneration. And I know Stockholm, Wisconsin is a small place, but I just wanted to say thank you for this program. And I think this is basically an entrepreneurial, to some degree, and a business move to really create a friendly environment for everybody who wants to belong in a community.
Rich, thank you for that. And Alan, you can follow up there in the last couple seconds here.
Well, I think everyone should be inclusive, and it is a good business decision. This is bigger than business. This is about everyone's welcome, and love is love, and come join us.
Well, Alan and Jennifer, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. This is fun.
Alan Nugent and Jennifer Lindahl organizing Lake Pepin Pride. Alan owns the Stockholm Pie and General Store. Earlier, we talked with Ryan Goshkovich, event director for Point Pride. You can find links to all of their festivals, all of the festivities at WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.